Well, as I mentioned earlier, as the church, the people of God, there is something valuable about meeting together. There's meaning behind getting together and interacting personally with one another. We hope that we don't have to continue doing these live streams for very long, because we know that gathering together benefits our emotional health and our spiritual health and even our physical health. But of course, as the coronavirus continues to spread, we want to be cautious and careful for others, for ourselves. We want to be loving to other people by being cautious and considerate about where we go and what we're doing to prevent the spread of disease. And so thankfully, we're able to take advantage of this technology and worship together virtually. Hopefully, we won't have too many technical difficulties, but as things have changed, we've had to adjust very quickly over the last few days. And as we now look at God's Word, I wanted to take a break this week from our study in Galatians, and I wanted us to think through and work through Psalm 84. And so if you have a Bible, I'd love for you to open it in front of you and follow along as I read through and work through this passage of Scripture, Psalm 84. I think that as things have progressed so rapidly with the coronavirus, we've seen grocery stores sell out of food and retailers running out of basic household goods and pharmacies emptied of medicine and hand sanitizer. And people begin to panic and anxiety increases and uncertainty threatens to overtake us. But I want to remind us and I want to remind myself that we must turn to God, because we know that in God's presence, there is joy, there is strength, and there's safety. There is joy in God's presence, there is strength in God's presence, and there is safety in God's presence. Let me read Psalm 84 for us together, and would you follow along as I read and just allow God's word to hold you in a comforting embrace. Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Now, you might be thinking, why am I preaching from Psalm 84? It talks about going to the temple when we're not at the church building right now, right? Like, this psalm seems to be talking about going to a physical building, the temple, but here we're all at home, or you're all at home doing this live stream. And yes, as you just scan through those first few verses again, you see it's talking about a dwelling place, the courts of the Lord, a home, the altars, the house of the Lord. These are physical features describing the temple. And it's about going to the physical structure, the temple. But the temple, of course, was more than just a building. The temple represented the presence of God. What the psalmist is writing about is not just delighting in the physical structure of the temple, but in the actual presence of God. So even though you're not here in this church building, you can still experience the presence of God. You can still turn to him. You can still draw near to the presence of God, because Jesus has reconciled us to a right relationship with God. And so now we have unlimited access to him. We can experience God's presence and the benefits of God's presence, even when we're not physically at church. And so actually, this is a great passage for us to consider this morning as we're physically spread out and distanced from each other. But before we work through this passage, I just want to give us a bit of background or some context to some key parts of this text. First, I want to draw your attention to this word that shows up twice in the passage, and as you read the Psalms, all over you'll find it. The word Selah shows up after verse 4 and after verse 8. You could look down at that really quickly. Commentators and translators aren't completely sure what Selah means, but it seems to be a musical interlude or a pause or a break that indicates a shift in thought or focus. And so when you see the word Selah, it indicates a change in thought or a change in emphasis. So in Psalm 84, we see verses 1 through 4 as one thought about God's presence, then Selah. And then verses 5 through 8, we have a second thought about God's presence, and then again, Selah. And in verses 9 through 12, we have a third thought about God's presence, and then the psalm ends. So as I suggested, verses 1 through 4 tell us that there is joy in God's presence. Verses 5 through 8 tell us that there is strength in God's presence. And verses 9 through 12 tells us there is safety in God's presence. But the other background information I want to lay out for us is about the authors of this psalm. The subscript that you see at the beginning of this psalm tells us that this song is authored by the sons of Korah. You'll see that there just above verse 1. Now, the Korahites first show up in the book of Numbers. They're the descendants of Levi, which tells us that they're priests. These Levites were the tribe that was given the responsibility to serve as priests. They served for the rest of the Israelites. And that's exactly what the Korahites are doing in places like 1 Corinthians 26 or 1 Chronicles 26 and 2 Chronicles chapter 20. But they're also charged with the duty of being gatekeepers for the temple. So part of their responsibility included making sure that the Israelites were fit to go to the temple, that they had made the appropriate sin offerings in order to go into the temple. Basically, they would let the right people in and keep the wrong people out. The other major responsibility for the Korahites was to protect or to guard the temple treasury. Offerings and gold and silver were given to the Lord and held at the temple. And so these gatekeepers, these Korahites, were responsible for guarding the money. And so these are the guys who are writing this psalm, the gatekeepers, the guardians of the temple. They had a very intimate and thorough knowledge of the temple. They knew the people who were coming in and going out of the temple. But they also knew that their responsibility to the temple meant that they were helping people experience the presence of God. And so first, as we look at verses 1 through 4, we see the utter joy of being in God's presence. As we look at these first four verses, we are struck by this intense yearning, this longing. It's a desire for the presence of the Lord. Look again at verses 1 and 2. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. Again, they're not just describing the physical building or the structure, the architecture, the walls of the temple. They're describing the beauty of God's presence, the joy of knowing that he is very near and that they can experience him in real and tangible ways. And they long for God's presence. Verse 2 describes them as fainting for the nearness of God. They know that being close to God, being in relationship with God, causes their hearts to sing with joy. They are filled with deep happiness and delight and contentment in God's presence. They recognize that when they are near to God, they are filled with pure joy. Verse 3 says, even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Even the birds desire to draw near to God, because that is where fullness and pleasure and satisfaction is found, joy in God's presence. And verse 4 says that those who are in God's presence are blessed. The simple definition for the word blessed is happy. A blessing is something from God that gives you true joy and delight. And this verse is telling us that we are happy when we are in God's presence. The best blessing that we could get is being with God, in relationship with him. When you are with the one that you love, you are happy. You feel blessed. You are filled with joy. When Jenny and I get a chance to go out on a date, it doesn't really matter what we do or where we go or what we eat. We could go to a dumpy restaurant with terrible food and get lost on the way home. But if we're together, we're content. We're happy. We're good. And for those of us who are Christians, we've been given the wonderful blessing of being in relationship with God because Jesus has removed our sin which separated us from him. He took our sin and our death so that we would have total and complete access to the God who loves us. And we know that in him and with him, there is fullness of joy. So as you turn to the Lord and you seek him and you know him, there is increasing joy. This is why it talks of longing for God. This is why the psalmists are saying they are desiring God because they know in God's presence they can have incredible joy. And even though we're not at the church building together this Sunday, you can still have blessing and joy and satisfaction if and when you draw near to the Lord. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Selah. But we also find that there's strength in God's presence. As we move into verses 5 through 8, we find that God gives us strength and stability and courage and fortitude, especially as we go through the darkest times of life. This part of the passage talks about going through the journey of life. And look what it says in verses 6 and 7. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Now, the Valley of Baca, in verse 6, is not a real place. It's not an actual location. But the word Baca means weeping or crying out in pain. The Valley of Baca is a place of grief and sorrow. It's a place of overwhelming difficulty. We are, at this moment, in a Valley of Baca. The coronavirus has sent our world and our country and our communities into a valley of difficulty and heartache and pain. But if we will go to God, if we will draw near to the presence of God, there is strength and renewal and restoration. It says that as we draw near to God, the Valley of Baca becomes a place of springs or refreshment. There is early rain that brings new life and hope. See, in this life, there will be times of weeping. There will be times of difficulty and trouble and overwhelming sorrows. We're in the Valley of Baca even now. But as we walk with the Lord, it becomes a place of refreshment and renewal. It becomes an oasis in a setting of desolation and drought. And verse 7 says, there is strength upon strength. Our confidence grows and grows because we put our trust in God, who holds all things in his sovereign power and control. Verse 7 describes the possibility of moving through this life from strength to strength. As we pursue God's presence, as we draw near to him, our strength increases. I picture a traveler gaining strength with every step that he takes. Typically, as we walk through difficult seasons of life and difficulties surround us, we feel less certain and less energized. We feel more like giving up. But here we see that each step is a step that has surer footing, better grip, firmer ground. And it tells us that this strength comes from the Lord. As we draw nearer to the Lord, as we struggle through the valleys, he gives us strength. When we lean on Him and trust Him and hang on to Him through the valley of weeping, He increases our strength. As we pursue Him, as we lean into relationship with Him, He increases our strength. And this won't be the last time that we are going through a time of distress. There will be other valleys. We'll feel like we're being crushed by overwhelming circumstances, even into the future. But don't stop seeking the Lord. Don't stop taking the steps you need to take to know Him and to be with Him and to talk with Him. Keep going to Him in prayer. Keep reading the Word of God. Keep pursuing Him and knowing Him and experiencing Him. You will go from strength to strength. The strength that comes from the Lord will sustain you as you go. And perhaps God is using this Valley of Baca to be a season of spiritual revival and renewal for us and for you. Rather than obsessing about the latest updates on the coronavirus, maybe we need to turn to the Lord and spend time with Him. Rather than worrying and agonizing about what is going to happen next, maybe we need to pray and listen to the Lord. I'm not saying that we stick our head in the sand or ignore safety and caution. We do need to be well-informed and aware of what is happening. But if we find ourselves moving into more fear and anxiety and worry, then we probably need to stop and just turn our hearts to the Lord and spend time with Him. Because He promises to carry us from strength to strength. There is strength in God's presence. Selah. As we focus on the last four verses of our passage this morning, we find that there is not only joy in God's presence and strength in God's presence, but there is also safety in God's presence. In verse 9, we see that God is our shield. That's what it says there. And we see that again in verse 11 when it says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly." God is our protector, our shield. We are safe in the presence of God. Now hear me on this. This is not saying that if you are walking closely with God that you are immune to sickness and disease and illness. It's not saying that if you are in a good relationship with God that you are exempt from pain or suffering or sorrow. Jesus Himself told us that if we follow Him, we will face intense hardships and persecutions and trials and tribulations. But what does it mean when God says there's safety, that He's a shield for us? It means that God will give His people what they need, when they need it, and it is good. Verse 11 says it, "No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly." Those of us who are parents know that we don't always give our kids what they want when they want it, but we do our best to give them what is good and what is beneficial for them. Our Heavenly Father is perfect in all that He does. He can only do good and be good to His children. And so the best place to be, the safest place to be, is in a right relationship with Him. This is why the Korahites have to say in verse 10, "For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." They long to be close to God because they recognize that there is no place sweeter, no person more satisfying, no situation more joyful or fulfilling or rewarding than to be in the very place where God is. This is not safety as we would define it necessarily. It's not safety with the absence of pain or difficulty or sorrow, but it is safety in the sense that we know God pours out His favor and honor on His children. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. And so we press in. We lean into closer relationship with God because in him there is goodness and blessing. We're able to echo the words that we find in verse 12. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. We desperately need joy and strength and a sense of safety. We're walking through the valley of Baca, of weeping, of uncertainty, of alarming circumstances. And even after the coronavirus passes, there will be other daunting issues. There will be other terrifying situations. There will be other painful experiences. These things will continue to happen because our world is broken. But this morning, we're reminded from Psalm 84 that when we turn to the Lord and draw near to him, we find joy in his presence. We find strength in his presence. We find his goodness and safety in his presence. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, there is no relationship. There is no nearness to God because sin has separated us from him. But if you will trust in Jesus as your Savior, you will have the joy of his presence, the strength of his presence, the safety and goodness of his presence. And so trust in Jesus as your Savior. Believe on him as the one who reconciles you and makes you right with God. And then if you do know Jesus, if you have been rescued and redeemed and reconciled to your Father God, then pursue even greater and deeper relationship with him. Know that there is nothing greater, no place better, no one more wonderful than our God. So maybe even in the midst of this dark season, if you will draw near to God, you'll find spiritual revival and renewal. Turn to him and find that he gives you strength upon strength. So let's take time to study God's word carefully and thoughtfully. Spend time in prayer, pouring out your concerns and worries, but listen to him. Wait on him. Sit quietly in his presence. And then maybe as you're talking to other people who seem worried or anxious, and point them to Jesus. Tell them about the Prince of Peace. Share with them the good news that Jesus has made us right with God by dying for our sins and giving us new life so that we can know God and have relationship with him and experience his presence. Remind your friends and your family and your coworkers and your neighbors that there is joy and strength and safety in the God who loves them and cares for them. And for us, let's turn to him. Let's trust in him. Let's wait on him. Let's dwell in his presence. Let's pray together. God, a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. A day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. God, we know that being with you in your presence, there is abundance of joy. There is blessing beyond all that we can imagine. There is strength for our daily lives. There's renewal and revival. And there is safety and goodness in your presence. Lord, I pray, help us to draw near to you. We know that you wait with open arms to embrace us. God, help us to draw near to you. Even as many of us have more time now to be at home, let us not waste the opportunity to spend time with you, to listen to you, to talk with you, to grow in you, to experience you. Help us, God, to experience your joy, your strength, and your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.